This is session 10 of the PDH Online audio course on electrical specifications. Cleveland Water Department checklist for operation and maintenance manuals. M&O manual submittal review checklist. Now, the purpose of this, it was pulled from the specification that is given to the contractor. The contractor must turn in a manual, and we'll get into that in a moment, but it's specified what kind of binder you're supposed to have on it, what kind of tabs you're supposed to have on it, what the content is. And this is the list of the content. Now, this is given to the contractor to tell him what he has to submit. It's given to the construction manager to check it off when he receives it. When he receives it, there will almost always be pieces missing. Sometimes pieces are missing because they aren't applicable to the item we're talking about. Usually pieces are missing because they're not provided by the manufacturer, and it takes some serious effort on the part of the contractor to obtain them. So back in the discussion section of the course, we said you've got to decide how much effort you want to invest in this project to get the manual. It's going to take effort on the part of the contractor. It's going to take effort on the part of the construction manager, whoever's taking on that role, to keep hassling the contractor to invest that effort. That's coming out of his pocket. If he doesn't do it, that's his profit on the job. If he does it, every hour that his guy is calling up the manufacturer trying to get the stuff the manufacturer doesn't want to send him, it's hard. So the manual starts out by saying plant, project title and number, M&O submittal number, because again, each document is going to be submitted again and again and again. The submittal number will be the specification number with a suffix. 16131-001, 16131-002, something like that. And again, the Cleveland Division of Water happens to use a very advanced computer system. If I think about it a while, I may remember the name of it. It's a commercial system. It's not something they created themselves. Expedition. And I think it's part of the family from, who is the big project management firm? Primavera. I think it's a Primavera product. But I'm sure there are competitors out there that do the job well. But the Cleveland Division of Water is very effective in use of the database product to pursue this and keep track of it and keep reminding people until they get their documentation right, which I imagine is hard on the contractors. On the other hand, we get the same people bidding on job after job and apparently doing good jobs job after job. M&O submittal title description, M&O submittal date, reviewed by date. Very reasonable things just to track what you have in your hand. General information, is it complete? Yes or no? And you can see if it's no, that initiates a note going back to him, you're missing these parts, do it over. We always ask, can he just put in an addendum to it, or does he have to start over? Usually the answer is he has to start over, because we want a book at the end of the project that the maintenance guy can use when he goes out to work on the equipment. We don't want three books. I mean, you can see how much more awkward it is. There's two pieces to lose if you've got three books. And the whole point of this is the list of items contained. So let's go through the list of items contained. Cover page, including equipment tag numbers and locations. Again, this is not a generic exercise. This is part of a specific installation project. If we put in a large blower, we put in a 4160 volt blower, well, we want the tag number for the blower, so we know this is the book for that particular blower. Happens there were two sequential projects. They put in blower number one, blower number two, and they were not identical. The manufacturer changed the way he put them together between number one and number two. So the books would be substantially different between number one and number two. M&O submittal quality appearance three-ring binders. It says in the detailed words of the specification what kind of binder you're supposed to have, you know, with a little pocket on the front so that you can see it, and a pocket on the spine with a label in it, and that's checked off here. if the quality, appearance, and three-ring binders are satisfactory. And again, if they're not, that initiates the bounce back and it's not completed. 16 tab dividers and index. And then we go through the 16 tabs and what's supposed to be under them. Now again, this is the summary checklist. The specification describes in more words what's going on, but let's go through them together and see if this makes sense to you. These are things you would want if you were the maintenance guy working on the equipment 10 years down the road. Supplier data. Who did you buy it from? Who was the local rep? Who took the commission on it and owes you some support? Manufacturer. What's the, and in the manufacturer data, you got to have a phone number. If you notice on the internet that they don't give contact information anymore, they'll accept your Visa, but they won't tell you how to talk to them. I imagine that's got to do with operating profits also. Operating instructions. On large equipment, you need operating instructions. On something as simple as an electrical panel board, there will be operating instructions. Troubleshooting data. Now, this is a separate section. If it's rolled into it, it's the contractor's responsibility to pull it out of the manufacturer's publications and put it behind a separate tab. If there's no tab troubleshooting data, it's incomplete and goes back for trying again. Startup running line amps. Now, of course, that would be non-applicable for a panel board. Or would it? Maybe you're supposed to put a clamp on meter on the incomings and see how many amps you're pulling. I don't know. There are words that go with this. On a large horsepower blower motor, it makes all the sense in the world. Startup running vibration, mills RMS in the X and Y directions at the main bearing. Again, this is limited to large mechanical equipment, but isn't that wonderful information to have on large mechanical equipment? If you've got a big exhaust blower, wouldn't it be nice to know what the vibration was when it was installed? And that's pretty reasonable for the installer to do. I mean, these guys that do the final alignment are very skilled technicians, and I'll bet you they've got a vibration meter in their kit. Electrical diagrams. Control software programming documentation. Again, a panel board probably wouldn't have that. What about the control sequence on this large blower? Probably not. I would hope that would be under electrical diagrams. If there's a programmable logic controller in it, certainly we want to see that software. How can you accept it if you don't see what you're getting? How can the guy do maintenance in the future if he doesn't know what it's supposed to do? Mechanical diagrams. Test data. How is test data different than line amps and startup vibration? A lot of times there's factory tests. Again, on large equipment, very, very common to have factory tests. And it is the contractor's responsibility to pull it out of the manufacturer's book and put it behind a tab that says test data. Repair parts. And we have a lot of trouble with this. Manufacturers will give their part number. They won't give the OEM part number. If it's a bearing, you know very well the motor guy doesn't make the bearing. He wants a markup to sell you a bearing from SKF, but he's not going to give you the SKF number, and we want the SKF number. The motor manufacturer goes out of business. The bearings are still available. It's just we don't know how to get them. Well, we do want to know how to get them. Maintenance instructions. Something that they probably says in the words on this, test intervals, you know, preventive test measurements. Parts list. How's parts list different from repair parts? Many pieces of equipment have consumable materials. Well, you need to buy the consumable materials right now. You probably don't need to buy the repair parts until, again, they'll tell you, have spare bearings on hand. Warranty. Maintenance materials. Are maintenance materials the same as test parts or repair parts? Well, there's an overlap, but that's why this is just a summary from the overall specification. Approved submittals. This says the O&M manual is supposed to have the approved submittals for when it was the project started. Any other specific requirements detailed in the individual equipment specification under Part 1. So the fellow who is reviewing the O&M is supposed to read the specification, before he approves the O&M. And that's the end of the document. Now, I think that is a wonderful concept if the project can afford it. It certainly provides value to the a maintenance person down the road, value to the owner, and it builds up the billable hours on the project. So I guess that's value to the contractor and to the construction manager if they realize this. That concludes Session 10. Session 11, again, is very short, related links and references. Please join me for that.